Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Mark Grody has got you covered inside of the Bears locker room. Our segment with him is brought to you by Loyola Medicine. When things are at their worst, we're at our best. You've got exclusive tape. I'm getting out the way. What do we need to know?
Well, let's start with Matt Eberflus, and I don't know if you guys have been able to turn the page, but I have not been able to turn the page. But actually, if you guys want to start with that, let's start with that. Let's start with the stuff inside of the locker room today. And of course, it is all about what happened this past week in D.C. with the blown coverage on the Hail Mary, and then several players, many of whom were on the score, critiquing their head coach and talking about what has gone down with the team over the last several days or so. So let's start then with inside the locker room with just a few of us that were with Jalen Johnson on expressing concerns to the coaches and how that's going.
I mean, it really just starts with being open to listen, first and foremost. And then really just at the end of the day, just really taking heed to what we're saying, allowing them to trust us in what we're saying, to believe us, to make changes. But, I mean, ultimately it's up to them to make the changes or to take what we're saying.
Do you think this will change the team for the better?
What will change the team for the better?
Just everything that has happened with the meetings that you guys have had, with you guys being outspoken about practices. Cole Kmet specifically talked about respecting the game, and that, and he said, like, leading up to this week, there were some issues in practice as well. So will this straighten things like that out?
No, nothing that has been said hasn't been said. I mean, we've been talking about improving. We've been talking about doing things better the right way. I mean, at the end of the day, something like that just exposes certain things. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it wasn't nothing new that was said. It was just things that we keep reiterating that, of course, bit us in the ass.
All right, so let's pause right there for a second. That's a good question and important point, Groats, that everything that's been said, according to Jalen Johnson, has already been said privately. It's important to note. All right, let's pick it up.
Articulate where you're at this week with this game and understanding what the stakes are.
For
the team and for you individually, just making sure that this thing gets.
I mean, we're not at a point to where we can let games like that go. Because I mean, it can easily go from. It could have went from 5-2, or could have went to 5-2, and now we're in a position at 4-3, or fighting to stay above 500. So I mean, like I said, nothing really is solidified. Nothing. There's always a sense of urgency. I mean, you can win 3 in a row, you can lose 3 in a row. So I mean, it's never. Every week is different. Every situation is not to be taken lightly. So I mean, just for me, for the team, I mean, every week is a great opportunity to win, and we can't let them slip through our hands.
So what do you need to see these next 4 days and on Sunday for you to feel like you guys have cleared the bar that you set?
We got to win. But, I mean, we can do things Monday through Saturday, and it all feels good going to the game. We lose, and quite honestly, it don't mean shit to me. I mean, we're here for wins and losses, not just doing things the right way. I mean, hopefully doing things the right way gets us those wins, but, I mean, ultimately it's about winning and losing.
What do you think about the heat that's been on your head coach, Matt Eberflus?
I don't know what Heat you're talking about.
Just in terms of critiques of him, you know, second to last play of the game, maybe not calling a timeout for the last play. There has been a lot of people talking about Matt Eberflus and his decisions.
I don't got nothing to do with me, honest. I mean, that's something he got to deal with, and I mean, that comes with it. I mean, I'm sure Tariq got the same criticism. I mean, if you're somebody in this high spotlight situation like that, you're going to be critiqued. So, I mean, I don't think nothing of it.
So 100% support from you guys in the locker room for your head coach.
Yeah, it's our head coach.
We asked him.
All right, hold on. Pause right there, please.
You guys believe.
So there's a way of talking about the head coach like an equal. Like, you know, Tariq deals with stuff. I guess coach has to deal with stuff. And then so 100% support you ask for Mark Grody, and he says, yep, he's our head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really sound particularly convincing to me, and I don't want to read into his words because there wasn't a follow-up after that. But, it just kind of just seeing him, watching him go through all of that, it just didn't seem like the greatest endorsement in the world. So
that,
but again,
that
again,
pause I was 8.5 months pregnant.
Quintuplets. I think it's quintuplets, it looks like, from the outside. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's finish up with Jalen before we keep going.
So how does he retain your belief?
How does he retain our belief?
As your head coach, like how do you stay believing in him going forward?
How do we stay believing in him? I mean, I feel like that's quite honestly part of the job, you would think. I mean, shit, as long as somebody's your head coach, I mean, the same thing with, in a sense, the quarterback situation when everybody asks, are you behind Justin? He's our quarterback. He's who we're going with. I mean, so at the end of the day, whoever's in that position, whoever is in our locker room, whoever is our coaches are, I mean, that's who we believe in. That's who we trust to lead us to the championship at the end of the day.
You said on Monday that you feel like you guys could have benefited from a timeout.
100%.
What do you think the greatest benefit of that moment would have been to just settle things down and get realigned?
Yeah, I mean, just really settle the moment down. My biggest thing is, I'm sure if we're in the finals, we got one more shot or one more possession, you're going to call in the sense of timeout to make sure the play is drawn up correctly. We're going to set this pick this way. I mean, get your guys in the best position to succeed. I mean, at the end of the day, that doesn't necessarily change the result, but it changes, I would say, your mentality going into that play. So, I mean, no different for us going in, getting a timeout, settling this down, making sure we're getting reminders of what we're doing, who's going to do what, and then go out there and try to execute.
How would you describe Tariq this week? Did the leaders have like a message for him as well?
Nah, there's no message. At the end of the day, like I've been saying, there's not too much for us to say. I mean, the stakes are at the highest that it could have been, and he knows what came with it. So, I mean, there's nothing for us to say. At the end of the day, he feels already in a terrible position. So, it's not too much to say. He just got to come out here. Well, we do have a lot to say. We got to build him up. Because, I mean, he's still going to play. And at the end of the day, we got to continue to get him in the right direction and bring him along so we can win these games.
So Jalen feeling very supportive of Tariq. That's someone who's in his room. They feel like they have to love him up, coach him up, work with him, all of those things. I do like, if you're a Bears fan, you should like the fact that there is a level of urgency from players. We got to win. How can we fix this? We got to win. We're not good enough to give games like that away. I love hearing that from Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, and I will tell you guys, too, that throughout the whole thing, it may be detectable and may not be. He was kind of irritated throughout the whole interview. Like, I don't know if he wanted to talk today, but as he is, you know, he's so affable in terms of talking to us that he did, and then just gave the usual great answers. But there was an edge. There was an edge to Jalen Johnson today that I haven't seen in a while.
There's an edge. There's the acknowledgement that whoever our coach is who we trust and who we go with. That's part of the job. That's
right.
Quite something, man. And then that pause has been to the obstetrician like 6 times. I mean, my goodness.
I was like, I'm glad you guys have reacted like that because that's what I got out of it. You know, I was talking to some of the other reporters, like, did we all hear the same thing there? So it sounds like you guys heard the exact same thing from Jalen Johnson right there. Let me move on now to
that pause had an epidural. I mean, sweet Jesus. All right, I'm done.
See, sometimes I take the pauses out. Sometimes I don't.
Glad you left it in.
That was one of those times where I thought that it needed to stay in. Kevin Byard, another safety of or another captain of the Bears. He's also a safety. And he's feeling a little bit differently about everything today as opposed to the other day when he spoke to the media. Here's Kevin Byard.
You know, obviously at the Monday and that we're just really after the game, I think everybody were pretty emotional. You know what I mean? Coach included, myself, all the players.
Yeah.
And obviously things were said, conversations were had, and I think we all kind of got, you know, after that, you know, we all got like interviews and podcasts and kind of do all those things. And, you know, I feel like we all kind of voiced our opinions and voiced what was on our heart. We kind of wore our hearts on the sleeves or whatever. And just for myself personally, I can only speak for myself, but I've always been a big believer of like keeping family business, family business. And I don't think I displayed that by, you know, I'm going to voice my opinions and things like that. But I started my interview with the team and just said that, hey, we had a conversation and I said this. I don't think I should have did it. You know what I mean? I don't regret it because I mean, I still have those opinions, but I just feel like that shouldn't – a personal conversation I had with a coach shouldn't be shared out. You know what I mean? Because I feel like it should be, you know, in-house. But, you know, the meetings went well. To answer your first part of the question.
We asked him how he retains the belief of players. He said, ask you guys. So how does he retain your belief going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I still think Flus is a hell of a coach. You know what I mean? I think that obviously one play that was the biggest play in the game, obviously. You know, I don't think that, you know, if you take – we play 72 plays on defense. And if, let's say, for example, he called four or five bad plays, you know what I mean, and he called the rest of them great, it doesn't make him a terrible coach or nothing like that. So I still believe in him as a coach. I believe him as a man, you know what I mean? And I respect the fact that he lets us voice our opinions in these meetings and things like that, because I've been on, you know, another team where that may not have happened, and he's opened up for – not necessarily just criticism, but just open feedback from players. So still respect him, and the players still believe in him. Because, like I said, we still have a lot to play for. And, you know, we still feel like as a team and as players that we're a great team, and we're still going to be where we need to be at the end of the stand.
And understanding the spirit of what you said about kind of regretting being so open with us maybe.
Well, no, I don't regret.
Okay.
I don't regret. I just, looking back at it, like I said, not – getting the emotions of obviously rather the game. I think we all were, because I mean that was an unbelievable thing that happened. Looking back at it as a man, like I said, I feel like I would have handled it differently, but I don't regret how I felt about it. But I wish that I would just kept family business.
So if we ask you questions about that, that's something that you're going to be more hesitant to respond to, like specific things, like we were asking about the second to the last play, you know,
right,
things like that. I guess that, and did Matt Eberflus agree with you too? Like, was he kind of put off by the fact that you shared with us that?
No, I don't think it was put off or not like that. I was just saying, like I said, I just think that the way I worded it by saying, you know, me and Flus, we had a conversation and I felt this. I don't think I should have did that. If I just felt that way, that's just how I felt that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I said, I just think that anytime you're having a personal conversation with a teammate, coach, shoot, even a media member or whatever, you know, if it's personal, I don't think that should just be aired out. You know what I mean? It's just like, if I got an issue with my family member, I don't go on social media and just put them out there. I just think that that's, you know what I mean, it's kind of, no, I won't say childish, but like you said, I feel like just the emotions of everything that happened, you know, within that 24 hours. Yeah, I mean, now that I'm completely flushed it, you know what I mean? I'm just looking back at it like, yeah, I probably would have handled it differently.
You guys put such emphasis on discipline. You know, this hit system really holds everybody accountable.
Right.
When
hold it right there, Robbie, because I hear Pat Finley moving on to a different subject. Lawrence, that sounds to both of us like Kevin Byard was among some people told to talk less.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they got their hands slapped by the coach and the general manager. Because I'm seeing some of the quotes from DJ Moore, too. And, you know, like, it feels – that's why I didn't like the concept of the walkthrough. And I know that they got a whole bunch of injuries, and that's probably the reason that they had a walkthrough. But the walkthrough that no one could see kind of felt like – an all-team meeting to me.
And Kevin Byard is an OG and a guy who's now trying to voice the new normal is what it sounds like, Groats. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I agree with you guys. You know, I think that somebody, you know, I think that they probably all agreed that this is the kind of stuff that should not be aired publicly. And to Lawrence's point, in a little bit, we will hear from DJ Moore specifically about that in the Doug Kramer play. So we will get to DJ Moore as well. But it definitely sounds. I will say this: Byard, and if we're gonna point out that Jalen Johnson didn't give a great endorsement, I thought that Kevin Byard did give a pretty good endorsement.
Agreed.
Of Matt Eberflus.
He still stood on business though, and I appreciate that about him. That he was basically like, look,
I believe it.
I wasn't wrong about what I said.
I didn't have to tell you that.
That's
I said
true.
What I said.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's an interesting distinction. All right, here's a little more. Pat Finley's in the middle of asking about the discipline, supposedly, they have.
Thing that obviously needs to be held accountable. Do you need to hear Matt say that publicly, or do you just need to hear it in your room? How does that fly when, you know, he told us, he's like, I'm not going to tell you whether I'm going to start him or not, you know?
Yeah. I mean, doesn't really matter if he does it publicly or anything like that. How him or Ryan or anybody deals with discipline when it comes to players, that's, you know, between them and the players. I feel like us as leaders, you know what I mean? Like, I've spoken to Reek. Obviously, I'm not going
to
air that conversation now. But I'm just saying, like, we all talk to him, you know. And I said this in the media before, like, I'm going to love on him just like I did before the game. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has their own growth path that they're taking. And I think he's on the right track, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know, it happened, you know what I mean? And like I said, we're just moving past it at this point.
Are you satisfied that it's been handled?
Am I satisfied? I mean, it's not really I don't know if it really matters if I'm satisfied or not. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, if Reek is back out there on Sunday starting, you know, I'm not going to feel a way about it. If he's not out there starting, I'm not going to feel a way about it because at the end of the day, I have to play safety for the Bears, and I have to hold down my responsibilities, and I have to be accountable to things I need to be accountable to.
Wow, my God!
Another late-term pause.
We got both these guys now saying, like, I have a job to do no matter what I think, so it doesn't matter. I'm not going to feel a certain way. I mean, God, it sounded like Byard thought maybe Tyreek shouldn't be starting, but he's going to be okay with whatever happens.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me like, and this is just a guess on things that I'm hearing out here and stuff that anybody can watch and see, but what I've been inferring is that if there is discipline, maybe it'll be a ceremonial miss the first series or something
you're,
like
you're
that.
Yeah, you're not starting, and that,
right.
That goes in your record.
You miss a game. You miss a game
started.
You
didn't get a start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. One other guy I want you guys to hear from in the locker room is Tremaine Edmonds. Now, you know, Tremaine Edmonds has always been sort of he's a rah-rah guy. He speaks in a lot of sports cliches. He reminds me of Danny Trevathan, very upbeat, very positive guy. But I thought he was very interesting today as well when he was, and we start with him being asked if he has spoken to Tyreek Stevenson about everything.
Have you talked to Tyreek about all this?
Like I said, man, we all been going through things, not just one player. You know, we all been talking as a team. But I think right now the focus is on Arizona.
The word accountability has come up a lot the last couple of days. As players, do you need to see the coaching staff hold players accountable, whether it's Tyreek, whether it's something else, in order to respect them as coaches?
The word accountability is for whoever, you know what I mean? You can stick that on, you know what I mean, whoever you want to stick it on, but as far as accountability, that's just for whoever, you know what I mean? That's just in the sport that we play, that's just being a professional, you know what I mean? Even if you talk outside of football, that's being a professional, you know, being accountable to what you got to do as far as just showing up every day, you know what I mean? It's not just on one person. It's not just on one thing. Accountability just goes for everything, on and off the field.
Do you see Flus taking accountability for his coaching decisions?
Like I said, accountability goes for everybody. You know, it's not about pinpointing one person or not, but, you know, accountability goes for everybody.
They talk about the coach like he's an equal, and that is a nod to the kind of modern locker room that we were talking about earlier with Pat Manley. It's an interesting thing. Like, he's got to be accountable, I got to be accountable, he's got to face heat, I got to face heat, that kind of thing. But my goodness, this sounds like this is an interesting moment for this group, who has clearly been told not to say some of the stuff they've said.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that what we're seeing will allow them to grow. But with each day, it seems like there's a lot more doubt that's creeping in to my head than there was on Monday.
Feels like a step further towards disconnect from your head coach.
Yeah, like these are the things I'm worried about. And again, my point of view is colored by stuff that I saw as a reporter, and that's what it feels like. Now, maybe it is different because times are different, but this is not great. Like, I'll just say that. Like, this is not great. Other than, like, for us. Like, for us, it's phenomenal.
Well, I described it yesterday as mid-chaos, pre-mutiny, you know?
I mean, I had an NFL reporter say, on the brink of mutiny.
Yeah, so we're still pre-mutiny.
Yeah.
We're not there.
I don't think we're there, but...
We may not get there.
We might not get there, but here's what I want to do.
We're still mid-chaos.
Definitely chaos, and a win will help a lot of different things. Groats, I want to take a break here. Because there's more stuff and you need more time. So we're going to take a break and then we're going to get after it. Because there's more people that talked. Groats sent us a whole list of folks that were inside the locker room today. And the DJ Moore stuff you need to hear because it is relevant to the situation. It's also relevant to the score. So buckle up, Buttercup. And stay tuned. More of this Bears Hit with Mark Grody.
Who are you calling Buttercup?
You.
All right.
You got one right there by your desk.
I'm going to have it at the break.
Next, here on The Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
We're in the middle of an extended Bears report with Mark Grody. Lawrence Holmes is shaking his head in disbelief at the current situation.
I just think that the other thing is I'm actually like really like inside. I'm beaming too because I think this is one of Mark Grody's best moments on air. This is like, this is incredible stuff.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Lawrence.
Incredible stuff. So don't stop. Keep going.
Don't stop
what else
now,
do we
boys.
Need to know?
I have I have another moment in mind. It was having to do with Alex Cora's suspension was my favorite moment. But
that was a different show, though.
Right.
Totally all those files thing. Are gone and underground and locked in a vault someplace.
Okay, good.
So
carry
let's,
on, sir.
Yes, we have DJ Moore now. Lawrence mentioned it before the break about the Doug Kramer play, the fumble at the goal line, and DJ Moore is the regular guest on the Mully and Haw show, and he kind of questioned the timing of that particular play, and here's DJ Moore discussing that today with the media.
I mean, we all talked about it, and me and Flus talked about it with the captains, and just got to stay in house next time. I mean, I'm not going to say sorry for what I said, but at the same time, it should have just stayed in house, but I said what I said.
Is that kind of the meeting? Is that when you guys had that captain's meeting with Flus, was that something he tried to express, keeping stuff in house?
Yeah, and going forward, that's probably going to be what it is. I mean, stuff slipped, and I mean, I answered the question. I mean, truthfully.
All right, here's the thing.
I told you.
Yeah, you did. Here's the big problem right now in this moment for Matt Eberflus. He's allowing the coaches to set the tone on so many things and praising them for being the adults and the communicators and the captains that they are, all eight of them, right? And then they have clearly set what they think is okay, which is being honest and accountable about things, and he has now told them no. And how's that going to go over, Matt? That is a horrendous read of your team because you've now slapped them down and they're out here talking to the media embarrassed and dealing with whatever level of self-imposed shame or you impose shame you're expecting them to deal with.
Or censor.
Or censor. Like, and they're dealing with that and you've now told them the truth is not okay and accountability is not okay. You have met their moment, this big moment that we've talked about, you have met their moment by turtling and not being man enough to join them.
And nobody regrets saying what they said. I mean, now two players have made that clear. Well, Kevin Byard has a little bit of empathy for the situation. He made it very clear when I asked the question. No regrets. I don't think DJ Moore regrets it. He's going forward. He kind of said it through gritted teeth that it's going to stay in-house. And, you know, I guess from the Bears' perspective, this is just the players rule the day, gone too far, gone wild.
They don't rule the day anymore. Okay,
yeah,
coach.
Exactly. I don't know if there's room for this cut here now that I'm about to play for you guys.
Do it. Can I
play something about football? Can I play football?
We like football.
I mean, you can, but if there's something else think is worth the Bears fan hearing, I want you to play that.
Right. You know what? Forget the DJ Moore on his relationship with Caleb. I'm talking about on the football field.
We can get to that tomorrow.
We will. So I am going to skip around. I know the tree. My guy Robbie Triano can handle this as well. So
can I?
There's
no curses in this one, right?
I know you got. You got. Did that come through?
No. You're good. Keep going.
Okay. Let's hear what Caleb Williams has to say about. Let's go back a little bit because the players rule the day thing has been going on for a while now. It was the players and Mercedes Lewis that prompted Shane Waldron to coach harder, to call guys out if you have to be the adult in the room. Then there was the scripted plays thing. Maybe we need to script plays. Now the critiques of Matt Eberflus that have been going on that we've been talking about all of this. So Caleb Williams was asked, is it okay that the players are in charge of this team?
And I kind of learned this at my other places that I've been at of college and high school and kind of just growing up and learning more about football and things like that. The better teams that I've been on that the players lead. And that's, you know, that's what we have here. I think it's something that I go by myself is okay teams lead. I learned this of, I think 2 years ago now. Okay teams, nobody leads. Good teams, coaches lead. And then the great teams, the players lead. So, you know, we have to find ways to be better for ourselves and things like that. You know, there's plays in that game, you know, where we have to execute.
Dude's a rookie. Kid is a rookie. He's a rookie. And he's talking about places he's been, like, you know, Oklahoma and USC. I mean, this is amazing.
It might be a wrap, folks.
This is how you lose a room, is you isolated further.
I think the room is lost.
Doesn't it sound like it? I mean, it's only a day later after yesterday, but he responded by not being accountable publicly and by telling them to shut the hell up privately. And now they go back out there and say, we've been told to be quiet, but we're going to keep leading because that's how great teams go. What else you got? He's our coach for now. That's the guy we trust because he's our coach.
Yes. By the way, I like the way this is building up because the last person we're going to hear from, I still have one more Caleb I want to play for you, but coming soon, Matt Eberflus himself. It's like a roast. And then finally, we'll get to hear from Matt Eberflus.
Don Rickles always goes last.
Tell him not to make any jokes about Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't work. That does not work. So Caleb was asked, what was he thinking at the end of the game after the Bears were victimized by a Hail Mary?
Obviously, right in that moment, you're angry. You're furious that you just lost, and you lost that way. It's a tough way to lose, but there's, like I spoke about before, there's obviously a sense of accountability that I have to take. Didn't play well first half. We had stalled drives, and that goes back to, throughout the week. That goes through during that game, us not finding ways to put ourselves in a position to be able to score, get 3 points, to keep, you know, multiple 3 points like they did. On the other side, they got multiple 3 points that allowed them to put themselves in a position to be able to obviously have that 30-second drive and throw a Hail Mary. And so if we keep putting points on the board, if we keep doing our job, if I keep doing my job to the best of my ability, finding ways to get points and things like that, protect the football, we win a lot of games, especially with the defense that we have, where, you know, this explosive offense that we just played, been putting up 30, 40, you know, how many ever points, and, you know, we hold them to 12, and we can't go out there and execute throughout the whole game to be able to play complementary football enough. And so I got to do a better job. Us leaders have to do a better job leading throughout the week and being, you know, on the details.
Okay, so that is accountability.
Yeah, I agree, because he's right, because if they put up points and played like a competent offense in the first half, they wouldn't need that stuff at the end.
Or the back end of what he said, saying, look, during the week,
yeah,
I've got to be better. The leaders of this team have to be better. So yeah, that's
and he,
good.
And he did admit, Caleb Williams, the stuff that you guys could play tomorrow, Caleb Williams did admit that, you know, he had a rough three quarters of the game, and he was not happy with the way he started the game. And obviously the first series was awful for everybody. So, yeah, I mean, in the self-evaluation, Caleb Williams obviously liked the way, you know, things ended for the offense and, you know, on the field. But the first three quarters were not good. And that does bring us to Matt Eberflus, the Bears head coach. He did have a conversation behind closed doors with Tyreek Stevenson about his carelessness, that is Stevenson's carelessness, before the Hail Mary in D.C., and was asked, will there be consequences in Arizona this Sunday?
Yeah, like I said, you know, I'm not going to talk about, you know, the Tyreek in terms of starting, not starting, all those things, but I will say this, that Tyreek's made a lot of plays for this group and for our defense and for our football team over the last couple years, and he's got to continue to do that. So we're behind Tyreek, and we're with him all the way, and again, we'll work through this as we go.
Matt, you mentioned your meeting with the captains. At least half of those guys came out on either Monday or Tuesday and expressed concern with either coaching decisions or the sharpness of practice. How do you retain the belief in them and the group, and how do you feel it, as you said you did?
Yeah, I trust those guys. I believe in those guys. You know, we had great conversations this morning, and those guys have done a great job leading this team, you know, and they're going to continue to do it this week, you know, leading from the inside out. I talked about leading from the front, and all eight of those guys are great leaders. And those guys, and trust those guys.
And Cole Kmet talked about, in regards to the Tyreek Stevenson play, that it's a good lesson on how to respect the game. But he also said that there were examples of that throughout the week of practice, last week leading up to it. Can you provide more on that, of what's going on in practices right now?
Yeah, so I talked to Cole with that, but it's really about wiring in on every single play. And that's really what it is every single week. And again, you'd have to ask him exactly what he was referring to. I don't know exactly what it was, but we had a general conversation about, it's about wiring in, cycle of the staff, making sure we're doing our job and being where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there.
Okay. Groats, this was amazing.
Thank you.
We release you from your duties as Bears beat reporter because we know you got other stuff to do.
I do.
Thanks
I do.
So much for this. Yep. This was outstanding, and I'm not BSing you here. Pull this. This is like Lissa Gore worthy. For real.
Oh, thanks, Lawrence. That means a lot. I appreciate it, guys.
Hey, one other thing, Groats. We talked about the injury report earlier, do you have any clarity on what the offensive line situation is going to be, or Kyler and Jaquan, Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker?
Yeah, no, I can tell you that Karan Amagaji is not going to be playing. He was walking around with a walking boot on in the locker room today, so he's not going to be available to play for the Bears. Tevin Jenkins, limited. Again, this is a walkthrough practice, so these are all projections on the injury report, and Tevin Jenkins was down as limited knee. Braxton Jones would not have practiced today because of his knee. Jaquan Brisker, still in concussion protocol, which I actually appreciate because they're taking this as seriously as they are. Kyler Gordon did not practice with a hamstring. The good news is that Ryan Bates was back in practice, activated from the 21-day window from injured reserve. Essentially, that means if all things go well this week, it is possible that Ryan Bates can play. Larry Borum probably, I'm guessing, will be active this week. He was technically limited in the practice today. So, yeah, lots of moving parts with the offensive line, things that we will work through over the next couple of days.
Bye, Groats.
Bye, Bears.
That is Mark Grody, who covers the Bears for us, and what a time to be covering the Bears.
Just unbelievable.
There's a lot here, and ordinarily our last segment is reserved for fun. We're throwing that out the window. If you would like to talk to us about the Bears, the phone lines are now open. 312-644-6767 is the number. You can also text us that way, too, if you wish. And we see people, the chat inside of Twitch has been amazing. So if you would like to talk about these Bears, we would like to hear from you. Yeah, that right there, that thing that did right there, the 7.5-month pregnant pause.
God.
That thing.
The contractions for this pause are like 4 minutes apart.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break. And the phone lines have already decided to blow up, which is great because we look forward to getting your opinion on this as a Bears fan. That's next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I definitely listened to 6-7 The Score growing up for sure. Driving around in the car with my dad, he'd always have it on.
Afternoons on The Score.
We do what we do in the building, you know, and there is accountability here, and we hold each other accountable to it. And that's what I know.
Oh, Jesus.
It has been quite a day of revelation.
It really has, man. I can't get over what has happened. Because, again, I think Coach Eberflus has said all along he wants the players to lead. And they have. They have. And they chose honesty and accountability publicly. And today he met that moment with more evasiveness and by telling them to clam up.
That's what it sounds like.
That does not seem to be a good way to meet that moment.
Yeah, and maybe the guys, you know, someone brought up the movie Varsity Blues. Maybe this is the Bud Kilmer moment. Maybe the guys can, like, now my feelings on this game are not close game. Either the Bears go out there and blow them out or they get blown out.
But what if Flus comes out in a whipped cream bikini?
With Aaliyah's If Your Girl Only Knew playing in the background?
Yeah. Why not? Rest in peace, by the way, Jay-Z, damn it.
Okay. That was irresponsible.
I mean, he had Aaliyah killed, right? We can talk about that tomorrow. 5:40 tomorrow. we'll dive into the Aaliyah murder tomorrow.
You're just going to throw that out there with no allegedly.
That's his brand.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, there we go.
That helps, allegedly.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the phone lines.
All right.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chuck was surprised.
Hi, Shad. You're on The Score.
Shad.
How's it going, guys?
All right, man.
I mean, you tell us how it's going, Shad, because it doesn't seem like it's great.
Well, actually, it's great. This is the best day I've had in a Bears fan in 20 years. You know, Speaks had a segment called Post Position, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, the logic is, this is a message to Mr. Ryan Post. Today is the first episode of what you don't want from your head coach. You know, going back to when Justin Fields used to get his head knocked off and your head coach used to smile and say everything was okay on the sideline, you completely ignore what fan base you're a coach of. I would like for your wife not to have to give you cosmetic upgrade information. I would like for you to understand that as a football player, that your team needs a voice, an identity, and that normally comes with Super Bowl head coaches, Pete Carroll, Bill Cowher. These are guys that have personalities, and within their personalities, they embodied the city that they were in. And within that, that was the loudest voice. So it doesn't matter if Cole Kmet or DJ Moore has a podcast or they got multiple segments where they're not really answering real questions of the city when they want to answer. When they asked questions of Justin Fields last year, of Luke Getsy, he came out and he was honest. This is the same thing that happened today. The tone, the conversation, and everything is the exact same playbook. So, Mr. Ryan Poles, since you decided this past offseason to ignore the fact this is the best offseason for head coaching candidates that I have ever seen in my life, and you said I'm going to stand pat with this guy with a guru of a quarterback coming in, and you bring in this nut job of an offensive coordinator, and this is what you want your city to get behind, let me tell you this. It doesn't matter what happens in Arizona. You can move on to Arizona. There's a bunch of retired Bears fans out there that might be interested in the game, but the hardcore fans want a real damn head coach.
Thanks for the phone call, Shad.
He's right on the tone being exactly what it was after Justin came out and said I shouldn't have said that. It's a very good call.
Aurora and John. Hey, John, you're on the score.
Oh, man, I got to follow that guy? Jesus.
You got it in you, John. Go.
We believe in you.
So here, my point was that, you know, when Shane Waldron was hired last year, you guys had on the beat reporter from Seattle. He warned about all this. And just to touch, you know, about how bad the play calling and everything was going to be, and to touch a little bit more on what the last caller said, you know, all these signs were there last year, and everybody ignored them because they beat a couple bad teams. But the clown show was going on. It was so bad, they fired key players except for the head coach. And then they bring in a bunch of people who are on, like, you know, oh, we got to do something because we don't have jobs, so we'll take this thing. So, I mean, it's just a continuation of the same old stuff. And you've got a franchise quarterback that you have the opportunity to do something with, and you bring in Shane Waldron, and you have this guy out here telling people that, you know, it's okay to not do anything as far as playing, you know, accurately. You know what?
We're going to leave your call right where it was. I thought that
there was some good stuff in there,
John. You hit a lot of high points. You didn't quite get to Shad's level, but you were pretty close.
He didn't stick the dismount.
So that's okay, though.
That's all right.
Next time, John, let's go to Brandon, who's in Ukrainian Village. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. Really appreciate it. Going to keep it quick. You know, I'm soon to be 40 years old. This week, I realized what a jerk is. Matt Eberflus is a jerk. We're right back to where we were a year ago, wanting him fired, or at least that's where I was. You know, he kind of saved it. But any good coach is calling that timeout before the Hail Mary. That's one of many things from this last game. As a coach, what you're supposed to do is the little things to make your team better. Right now, we got an A5 Wagyu steak, and we're cooking it well done.
Thank you, Brandon.
With ketchup on it.
Putting ketchup on it. Did the steak metaphor work for you, Shane? Did that get you going?
Yeah, I mean, I'll buy the highest quality steak and put ketchup on it. Doesn't matter to me, guys.
Thank you, Patrick. So glad he's here.
Stop calling me that.
Okay, Patrick. Sorry.
Thanks.
Excuse me.
Out to Hazelcrest and Mark. Hey, Mark, you're on the score.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm glad I'm not John. I have to follow that first guy.
Okay.
Well, the only thing I wanted to say is, okay, going back to Shane Waldron and his play calling, you have three fullbacks on your roster. I like Swift. He was a good pickup. But what happened with Johnson and Herbert? These guys were running crazy last year, and all of a sudden they're ghosts.
Yeah, Khalil Herbert not getting any playing time is an interesting thing, but that's DeAndre Swift's job, and Roshan has been the short yardage guy. It doesn't actually resonate that much to me. I'll tell you what does resonate and has is the aforementioned Seattle sources conversations about Shane Waldron. Those have rung in my ear.
Dave Softy Mahler.
Softy Mahler the entire time. Just like, you know, I don't know what you guys think you're getting, you know, and he was talking about the personality and the play calling. He's talking about the whole package, and it is not sat well as I've thought about the entire year.
One more, Dino from Mount Greenwood. Dino! Hello, Dino, you're on the score.
Hi, guys. The only thing I was going to say is the players don't work for the coaches. The coaches are there to support the players. Heck, you can play the game without the coaches, but the coaches are accountable to the players just as much as the players are accountable to each other. And what I seem to hear today was an inversion of this. You know, the coaches are fine holding the players accountable in the media and elsewhere, but they don't like it when they're held accountable, and it's just sad. It was just a lost opportunity for growth in Eberflus and actually in the team. It's just upsetting.
Thanks, Dino. We were talking during the break about, like, you know, this team might come out on Sunday, and they might play their ass off just for themselves. You know, just like play a good old version of spite football.
Yeah.
And like, how far could they go? And I'm like, yeah, but you can't really be a good team in the playoffs, you know, against other teams that have the benefit of working with coaching.
Having coaching.
That's
Those teams, it's a higher bar to have coaching than to not have coaching.
I'm going
to
hang on to this sliver of hope that I am a caveman and don't get this, and that all of this honesty is great and it's going to turn into something awesome.
Hmm.
I'm going to hold on to that little bit of hope.
I like it. So the hope is that human communication has passed you by.
Yes.
And just to check, you teach human communication in college, right?
It's one of the things that I've learned from the students is that the world is very different now.
It does change.
And things are changing. So okay. Here, I'm hopeful.
And you do human communication for a living as well.
Yes.
Okay.
I think I do it fairly well, too.
You have your moments. But either way.
That's what I hear.
Either way. You're hoping it's passed you by. That's your hope.
I really, for the Bears' sake and Bears fans' sakes, I hope that it is passed me by.
Good luck, everybody.
Thanks to the tree. Didn't know that was a nickname. That's going to stick. Thanks to Shane. That man is Matt Spiegel. I am Lawrence Holmes. Thank you so much for the love and support that you showed this show. We will try to return that favor in kind tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on The Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free health care. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.